Good morning. Can I give you a very warm welcome to our service this morning? It's lovely to see you. What a beautiful day the Lord has given us as we come together on this Lord's Day to remember Him. Can I wish you a very happy Easter? Jesus is alive. He's risen. And that's our hope and our joy this morning. So whether you're here in the building as we meet to worship God, whether you're joining us online this morning, a very happy Easter to you. Or let me try and greet you in your own language. Fu huo tia kwa le, linksmu veliku, pashte ferici, vesoish vant via kanosnich, or feliz Pasqua, happy Easter. Jesus Christ is risen. And what a joy it is for us to meet together this morning to worship God. Some words from the Bible, from God's Word, as we begin our service. Just a couple of verses from 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 3 to 5. Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures. He was buried. He was raised on the third day in accordance with the Scriptures. It was for our sin that Jesus died. It was according to God's word, His promise that all this happened, His burial, His resurrection. And we are alive today and we have life in Him because He died and He rose again. Well, our first hymn this morning is a lovely Easter hymn, a lovely traditional Easter hymn filled with great truth. Thine be the glory, risen conquering Son. The language might be a little old and unfamiliar to some of you. Thine and thy means yours and you. So as you follow these words through, yours is the glory. It's a hymn of praise that we sing to God for what He's done in giving us the Lord Jesus Christ. And Christ is risen. Thine be the glory, risen, conquering Son. Endless is the victory, thou or death, you over death have won. So as we listen in the building, I encourage you to stand if you're able, and please do sing along at home as we worship God this resurrection morning. Thank you. Please do be seated. Let's come to God in prayer. It's a great privilege for us through the Lord Jesus Christ that we can come to the God who created everything, the God of the universe, the one true living God. And we have this way through prayer that we come to him through our Lord Jesus Christ. So let's come together and pray. Our God in heaven, glorious and great God, God who created all things, we come to you this bright, sunny spring morning with joy filling our hearts. As Christian people, we worship you and thank you for what this day reminds us of, that those years ago, on this first day of the week, the Lord Jesus Christ rose from the dead. He had died because of our sin, died in our place. But then, because he had beaten death, because he had fully dealt with our law-breaking and our sin, death had no hold on him, and he rose again gloriously back to life. Thank you that he has defeated death, and he has brought life and immortality to light through the gospel for us. That great good news that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. And we thank you that whatever place we're in this morning, as we hear this great news again, as we remember the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ, whatever language it is that we speak, we thank you that you are the God of the world, that you so loved the whole world, that this great news is not only for people in Wigston or Leicester or even the United Kingdom, but for all nations. This is a message for all people in every generation, that Jesus is the Savior, that we can know forgiveness for our sins through putting our trust in him, and we can be welcomed into your family as your children. We can have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Thank you for this great news this morning. Thank you for this beautiful day that you've given us. Thank you for the warmth of the sun and the brightness of the spring colors around us. This is the world that you've created, but our sin has spoiled it, breaking your law. We've become greedy and self-centered and selfish and proud and all those other things that are against who you are. And Lord, we come under your judgment because of that. But thank you that we remember at this Easter time that Jesus died so that we could be forgiven, that he was raised again to life to give us that guarantee of eternal life if we believe in him. So accept our thanks and our praise this morning. It's so good to be together, to meet together in the building, to know we're joining together with friends online, and to know that we are worshiping you. Hear our praise. Accept our thanks. And thank you that as this earth spins today, as the sun rises on every nation, there will be Christians waking up to praise you. And thank you that Jesus is alive. Thank you that because he's alive, we know he's coming back for us. That a day is coming when he will end time. He will bring history to a close, and he will take all of his people to be with him forever in that home that he has prepared for us. Thank you for this great hope and joy that we have. Our God, you are worthy of all of our praise. Help us then, we pray. Come by your Holy Spirit, God the Holy Spirit, and fill our hearts with your truth and with joy as we respond to that. And for those who perhaps for the first time are hearing this message, please help them to understand. Help them to see their need of the Lord Jesus Christ as Savior. And we pray that they would come in faith, trusting in him, and know that joy of their sins forgiven and peace with God themselves. Do that work that we cannot, we pray, and glorify your great and holy name. For we ask in the name of our risen Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Well, our children's talk this morning is by James Eardley. It's a recording that he's done for us, so I'm going to get out of the way and hand over to James. Thank you.
Good morning, boys and girls, and happy Easter. Remember last week, Trevor told us how Jesus died on the cross, and he hung there between two criminals and died a criminal's death, even though he had done nothing wrong. He'd done nothing to deserve that death, and he was buried in a tomb belonging to a man called Joseph of Arimathea. It was Sunday morning, just before dawn. Everything was still. Then, as the first light touched the sky, the ground trembled and shook. An angel came and rolled away the stone that sealed the tomb. The guards were so frightened, they ran off. When the women came, bringing their spices, the grave was open and the body had gone. The angel spoke to them. "Don't be afraid," he said. "I know you're looking for Jesus, but he's not here. He's alive from the dead. Look, this is where his body lay. Hurry and tell his friends. You'll see him again soon." Jesus' friends refused to believe the women's story. They thought they were imagining things, but Peter and John went to the grave to see for themselves. John ran faster than Peter and got there first. He looked inside the grave, but didn't go in. Then Peter arrived, and they both went in. They saw the cloths which had bound the body lying untouched, with the cloth that had wrapped Jesus' head just a neck space away. John knew at once that nobody could have stolen the body. What the women had said was true. Jesus was alive from the dead. The two men went home, but Mary Magdalene, who had followed them, stayed. She stood there crying. She could not understand what had happened. Then she caught sight of a man she thought to be the gardener. "If you have taken him away," she said, "please tell me where I can find him." She did not know that she was actually talking to Jesus. Then Jesus said, "Mary." She knew immediately then who it was. It was Jesus. Joy flooded her. "Tell my friends you have seen me," Jesus said. So Jesus appeared first to Mary, and then later he appeared to his disciples. But somebody was missing from the disciples. Thomas. Well, Thomas had not been with the disciples on that occasion, and he refused to believe their story. And he said, "Unless I see his hands and the nail marks in them and put my fingers in them, and if I reach out and put my hand in his side where the spear went, I will not believe." Well, about a week later, the disciples and Thomas were in a locked room, and suddenly Jesus appeared in the room. And he came to Thomas because he knew he was doubting, and he said, "Look, see my hands, and put your fingers here in the marks, and reach out your hand and put it in my side where the spear went. Do not disbelieve, but believe." And Thomas then knew, and he said, "My Lord and my God." And Jesus said, "Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed." And you know, boys and girls, we may not have seen Jesus like Thomas did, but we can know Jesus. How? By believing in him. Believing that when he died on the cross, he was dying for our sin, the wrong things we do. And believing that when he died, he rose again to life so that we too might have new life in him. The question is then, for all of us, is have we believed in Jesus Christ risen from the dead? I trust that you have a very happy Easter, knowing the true message of Easter, that Jesus is alive.
Well, thank you for that, James. And we're going to have a song for the children and those at home to join in with. And it speaks about the life of the Lord Jesus Christ. Look at the second half of that. "You came from heaven to earth to show the way from the earth to the cross, like we remember on Good Friday. But why? My debt to pay, from the cross to the grave, from the grave to the sky. And what's our response to that? Well, we worship God, don't we? We worship the Lord and praise Him. Lord, I lift your name on high. Sorry that there aren't actions for you to join with this morning, but hum along in the church or sing along if you're at home. Lord, I lift your name on high. Lord, I love to sing your praises. I'm so glad you're in my life. I'm so glad you came to save us. You came from heaven to earth to show the way, from the earth to the cross, my debt to pay, from the cross to the grave, from the grave to the sky. Lord, I lift your name on high. Lord, I lift your name on high. Lord, I love to sing your praises. I'm so glad you're in my life. I'm so glad you came to save us. You came from heaven to earth to show the way, from the earth to the cross, my debt to pay, from the cross to the grave, from the grave to the sky. Lord, I lift your name on high. I know everybody's missing joining in singing, but this morning, with the lovely weather the Lord has given us, after we've finished our service here in the building, if you would like to, we're going to exit the building into the car park there through that door, and we're going to sing that hymn that's printed for you on the sheets together before we go home. There'll be some cones marked out, so we're all spread out in a safe distance, but outside we're allowed to sing, so we're going to sing as we finish our service together as well. Lift our voices to worship and praise God together, but also to share with the community why today is a day filled with joy for us, because Christ is risen. So if you're wanting to come outside and sing, I think the simplest thing to say will be if folks towards the front this side make your way out first and follow on in rows, and then this side, once this side is cleared, keeping some space as you do go out, and then once we've sung and finished with a short prayer out there, we'll just exit onto Redruth Avenue and walk back to our cars or our homes. But be good to end the morning singing God's praise together. So that's what will happen immediately afterwards. Please do take the hymn sheet with you, unless you know the words really well. I'm sure many of you do, but just in case you need the words. And what I'll try to think to do is open the recycling bin for the church, which is on the way out. You could just drop them in the recycling bin, so we're careful with our litter as well. Just some announcements. Let me remind you that there is no Lions Cubs this afternoon for the children. It's going to be on Tuesday. The details of that are in the link that you've had through, hopefully. So no Lions Cubs this afternoon, but a time together Tuesday afternoon for the children to join in with. Our service later today, 5:30, Trevor Bowman will be speaking, again, looking at the resurrection and the Lord Jesus Christ. So I encourage you to join in our service. It's on Zoom, but you can access that from our website, www.littlehill.org.uk, and go to the What's Happening During Restrictions page. There's a link that you can click on there. As well as that, if this is all new to you, if this is the first time that you've had any thought of Easter or anything to do with Christianity, well, we'd like to encourage you to find out more. If you have questions, again, there's the details for our website there. Please do visit our website. If you click on the tab at the top, About Us, and then click on the What is Christianity and Exploring Christianity Yourself, it brings up a page with different resources and links to finding out more about the Christian faith, more about the Lord Jesus Christ, and as well as that, how you can get in touch with us to ask your questions. We'd love to give you some literature or send a Bible to you if you would like to know more. So please do get in touch with us and use that resource to find out the truth about why today is such a joyful day for us. As well as that, there are some of these books that will be available here in the building next Sunday morning. But if you're not coming to the church, we can get one sent to you. Your Verdict on the Empty Tomb. It's looking at the evidence for the resurrection and asking you to make your mind up. What do you think about the truth of what the Bible says about Jesus Christ being risen? And a helpful argument is put across covering the evidence for the resurrection of Jesus Christ. If you would like one of these, again, if you're coming to the building next Sunday morning, they'll be available to collect, but we can get them sent to you as well if you're not local to the church. So if you'd like one of those, please do get in touch with us. And there's lots of other literature, Bibles, things that we have, and a box that's often outside the church as well for you to just come along and take something if you would like to. Please do use that. Read God's Word and see what God says about who he is and about us as well. Well, next this morning, we've got an interview. Dalton is interviewing Penny, and you're perhaps looking around thinking, where's Dalton and where's Penny? Well, they're going to appear on the screen behind me, and Dalton's looking at this question with Penny, what Easter means to you. So I'll hand over now to Dalton and Penny for a few minutes. Thank you.
My name is Dalton, and I'm a member here at the church at Little Hill. And it's lovely, my real delight, to have Penny Wang with us. Penny's involved with the work amongst international students. She works under the auspices of Friends International. So I'm going to ask Penny one or two questions just so that we can get to know her a little bit. Penny, I know that you were born in China. Can you tell us where in China you are from?
Yeah, I grew up in a place called Chongqing. It's a city in the southwest part of China. It's not a famous city, but actually a lot of people have been to my city if they travel to China. Most people, when they travel to China, they will take a cruise to visit the Three Gorges. The starting place for the cruise journey is actually my city.
All right, didn't know that. Thank you. And how is Easter celebrated there, if at all?
I don't think Easter is celebrated that much in China because most people are not Christians and they have never heard of it. But certainly Christians will celebrate Easter because this is a time for them to reflect and to give thanks to God.
Right, thank you. Now, Penny, since coming to the UK, what Easter traditions have you enjoyed the most? And just added to that, what is your favourite food?
The tradition that I have enjoyed the most is Easter egg hunt. So for students who have never heard of this before, this is just a game where a lot of Easter eggs will be hidden in different places, and you are supposed to find those eggs as many as possible, and then later you can take those Easter eggs, which are chocolate really, you can take them home and eat all of them. For me, the food that I enjoy the most about Easter is hot cross buns. During Easter time, you can see this quite often in the supermarket. It's just a bread with a symbol of cross on it, and the cross is made of cream. And this is because Easter is a time to celebrate Jesus' death on the cross for human sins. So that's why people eat this. And I think this is a classic British food during Easter time. So next time, if you see hot cross buns in the supermarket, do buy them and try. I think they taste good.
Lovely. Great. Now, Penny, Easter is probably the most important event in the Christian calendar. Please tell us, how do you celebrate it?
So for me, Easter celebration starts on Good Friday. So this is the day we remember Jesus' death on the cross. And we celebrate it by reflecting on what Jesus has done. So for me, yeah, I will certainly spend some time reflecting what Jesus has done for us on the cross. But also, I will read the story of Easter, of Jesus dying on the cross and then coming back alive. On Easter Sunday, I will go to a church service, which is a special Easter service, where we celebrate Jesus' resurrection, which means he died, but he come back alive again. So yeah, this is what I will do for celebrating Easter.
Great. That sounds absolutely wonderful. That's great reflection and celebrate it. But still at the heart of that, Penny, why is it so important to you, though? Why?
I think Easter gives the message of hope and gives the message of life. I think most of us are scared of death, to be honest. When I was in my early 20s, there was a time I was so scared of death. My mind was occupied by that scare, and I even couldn't sleep at night. But after I became a Christian, through reading the story of what happened during the first Easter 2000 years ago, I saw that Jesus died for me, but also Jesus came back alive, which means he conquered death. So if we are followers of Jesus, we actually will experience the same thing. We will die, but that's not the end of my story, because after my death, I will be with God forever. And that gives me hope, and that gives me the message of life. So, yeah, I want to encourage you to read the story of Easter recorded in the Bible. And I hope you to realize death is not the end of our story. That's actually the beginning of a new story of living with God in heaven if we believe in Jesus.
That is wonderful. Thank you so much, Penny. Thank you.
Well, thank you, Dalton and Penny, for sharing that. I want to build on what Penny has been speaking about, why we celebrate today and why we're so glad and happy that it's Easter Sunday, Resurrection Sunday. And to look at this question, what is special about today? What's special about today? It's the 4th of April, isn't it? The 4th of April. Well, what's special about the 4th of April? Well, I don't know whether you knew this, maybe some of you did. On the 4th of April, 1581, Francis Drake became Sir Francis Drake. It was a big moment. He was a hero in British history. He helped us at the time of the Spanish Armada, if you know anything about British history. And Queen Elizabeth I knighted him on the 4th of April, 1581. And maybe you're not that into history that far back, and something a bit more current and relevant for what you think. Well, on the 4th of April, 1965, Iron Man was born. Some of you might not know who Iron Man is, or the actor who plays him, Robert Downey Jr. He was born on the 4th of April, 1965. But is that what's special about today? Maybe there's something else. Well, what about this man? I'm sure you've seen his picture before. On the 4th of April, 1968, Martin Luther King was assassinated. He was killed. And a sad reason to remember the 4th of April. I'm sure you've all got something in your homes that has something to do with this. Not just a window in the wall, but in 1975, on the 4th of April, Bill Gates and Paul Allen started Microsoft. And that's affected all of us in many ways, hasn't it? With our computers and Windows and how we do things, everything going online. But more personal to me, on the 4th of April 1984, one of my younger brothers was born. And he's perhaps saying today that, you know, that's what's really special about today. Although he's a Christian, he thinks otherwise as well. But, you know, is it all about the 4th of April? Is it all about the 4th of April? Well, it's not. Forget the date. What is special about today, the day, the Lord's Day? Well, it's Easter Sunday, it's Resurrection Sunday, and that is what is special about today. And I'd like to read with you from Luke's Gospel the account that Luke gives to us about why this day is so special. Luke chapter 24, and I'm going to read from Luke 23, verse 50, towards the end of that chapter, into chapter 24 and verse 12. So please, if you have a Bible, turn to Luke chapter 23. If you don't, you can follow the words on the screen and follow along as we read this part. Luke giving us the account, the history of what happened on that first day of the week, that first Easter. So Luke 23, starting at verse 50. Now there was a man named Joseph from the Jewish town of Arimathea. He was a member of the council, or the governing body, a good and righteous man who had not consented to their decision and action. That's to crucify Jesus. He was looking for the kingdom of God. This man went to Pilate, the Roman governor, and asked for the body of Jesus. And then he took it down and wrapped it in a linen shroud and laid him in a tomb cut in stone where no one had ever yet been laid. It was the day of preparation and the Sabbath was beginning. The women who had come with him from Galilee followed and saw the tomb and how his body was laid. Then they returned and prepared spices and ointments. On the Sabbath, they rested according to the commandment. But on the first day of the week, at early dawn, they went to the tomb, taking the spices they had prepared. And they found the stone rolled away from the tomb. But when they went in, they did not find the body of the Lord Jesus. And while they were perplexed about this, behold, two men stood by them in dazzling apparel. And as they were frightened and bowed their faces to the ground, the men said to them, "Why do you seek the living among the dead? He's not here, but has risen. Remember how he told you while he was still in Galilee that the Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men and crucified, and on the third day rise." And they remembered his words. And returning from the tomb, they told all these things to the 11, that's the disciples, and to the rest. Now it was Mary Magdalene and Joanna, and Mary, the mother of James, and the other women with them who told these things to the apostles. But these words seemed to them like an idle tale, and they did not believe them. But Peter rose and ran to the tomb, stooping and looking in. He saw the linen cloths by themselves, and he went home marveling at what had happened. This is the real Easter. This is what it's all about. Maybe you've had hot cross buns for breakfast, or Easter eggs, or some of the other things that are associated with Easter. But this, as we read in God's Word, the Bible, this is what the real Easter is. Let's just pray and ask for God's help as we have some time looking at what we've read from the Bible. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the truth of these words that we've read. We're reading history, but we need your help to understand it. And we pray that your Holy Spirit would open our minds to understand and even our ears to hear your voice speaking to us, that we would know what you want us to understand this morning. Give us faith to believe these things and that trust in the Lord Jesus Christ who died and rose again. For we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's just have a look at this account that we've read, particularly in Luke chapter 24 and verses 1 to 12. It's the first day of the week. It's Sunday. Not a particularly significant day for the Jewish people. Their special day, their holy day, was the day before, the Sabbath, the Saturday that we read of at the end of chapter 23. On the Sabbath day, they rested according to the commandment. So it was just an ordinary day for them. Perhaps how we would view Monday. Maybe they had that Monday morning feeling that we get, but on a Sunday, a day earlier, I don't know. But it's early, it's just as the day is breaking. And these women who'd watched where Jesus had been buried have come to the tomb to anoint his body. They were fully expecting to find him there, weren't they? They'd gone home and prepared these spices. It was what they did When somebody died, the body was wrapped in cloths, and in these cloths they would put spices and nice-smelling things to try and preserve the body as long as they could and just make it a bit more nicer. It was a way of showing respect to the person who had died. And that's what they were doing. And as they come to the tomb where Jesus was, they'd seen this big stone rolled over the front, and it was closed. They were wondering, how are we going to get in? It was quite clearly a big stone, and they were thinking, there's no way we're going to be able to roll it out of the way. But as they get there, they find two things. Firstly, that the stone has been moved, which puzzles them slightly. But the second thing they find as they go in to the tomb, or the second thing they don't find, is the body of Jesus. They were expecting to find a corpse, a dead body still there. Dead bodies don't move on their own, do they? They stay exactly where you put them, and that's what they thought. And they were perplexed when they saw this, Luke says, and that means that, you know, they've got no answer. They'd run out of words. They were just speechless as they stood there and saw where Jesus should have been, and he wasn't. Their words just failed them. And as they stand there, kind of scratching their heads and perhaps thinking about what to say to each other, Luke tells us that two men or two angels appear to them. These weren't ordinary men. He describes their clothes, that they were in dazzling apparel. It means that their clothes were like the flash of lightning that you see across the sky. If you've watched a thunderstorm at night when it's dark and you see the lightning, well, it's so bright, isn't it? So vivid. Well, these men were clothed, as it were, in lightning cloaks. They were so bright. And the women, they were terrified. They fell down in terror in front of these two men who suddenly appeared. But they had something to tell them. Why do you seek the living among the dead? What a question to ask. They'd come to a grave, to a tomb, but they're being asked a question. Why do you seek the living among the dead? When they say living, they're asking them, why are you looking for someone who isn't dead anymore in the place where dead people are? Why are you looking for someone who isn't dead anymore in the place where dead people are? He's not here. He doesn't belong here where the dead are, because he's risen. He has come back to life, and not just kind of woken up as in the sense of being in a coma or that sort of thing. He had died on the cross. His body, his dead body, had been taken down. There is so much that tells us he was really dead, completely dead. And that's what they thought. That's why they'd prepared these spices. And then the angels say something to them. Remember how he told you while he was still in Galilee? He asked them to think back to some of the things Jesus had said, that the Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men and be crucified, and on the third day, rise. You see, Jesus had told them that this was going to happen. He told his disciples and those who followed him. He'd said to them before, the Son of Man, that's the way he used to speak about himself, the Son of Man will be delivered up. He'll be taken by sinful, wicked people, people who are filled with hatred and envy and jealousy. And they will have him put to death on a cross. But then 3 days later, he will come back to life. He will rise from the dead. And Jesus had told them this more than once. And the angel says, do you remember what he said? And then they did remember. Now think about what must have been going through their minds as that light bulb came on for them. As they remember, Jesus did say he was coming back to life. And suddenly then they're filled with a different emotion. It's no longer fear and terror, but it's wonder and joy. And they leave the tomb and they go to find Jesus' disciples and the other followers. And when they tell them what's happened, we've been to the tomb, the stone had been moved and the body of Jesus wasn't there. And these men in bright, shining clothes told us that he was alive and reminded us that he'd said this to us. Well, as the disciples and the others heard this, it says here, Luke says, these words seemed to them like an idle tale, like nonsense. Have you ever had somebody tell you something that is just impossible to believe? Maybe you have. Sometimes it's children, isn't it? Trying to describe something or get away with something. I'm guilty of that one. And you come up with some fantastic story to try and get out of trouble. And it's just too much to believe, isn't it? And it's nonsense. It makes no sense. And as they listened to what these women were telling them, Luke tells us here, they did not believe. The dead don't come back to life. We saw him die. But Peter, it tells us here, went to the tomb. He wanted to see for himself. He wanted to have a look and see with his own eyes what these women were telling him. So that's what he does. And he runs to the tomb, stooping and looking in. He bows and crouches. He goes in. And it says here that he sees the linen cloths by themselves. They were on their own. The body of Jesus isn't there. The cloths still are. Remarkable. Exactly where they should be. And he went home marveling at what happened, amazed. His mind was filled with wonder. He'd seen something completely incredible. And this is the real story of Easter. And that's what we're going to look at briefly this morning. And the first big thing that we have to take from looking at the Easter story is this, that Jesus is alive. Jesus is alive. There is no mistaking the fact that Jesus is alive. He is as alive or more really alive than I am stood here in front of you this morning. And none of you doubt that I'm standing here. I'm not an illusion. I'm not holographic or anything. We're not that clever. I'm really here. But more than I'm here, Jesus is alive. Think about the evidence that Luke has told us and shared with us this morning. And these were eyewitnesses. The stone was moved out of the way of the tomb. The body of Jesus was gone, but the clothes were still lying there, exactly in their place. Angels appeared to them, telling them that he was risen and reminding them that he had already said he would rise from the dead. Jesus is alive. He was there. They didn't go to the wrong tomb. He was there. Why? That's difficult to think of, isn't it? He's the Son of God. He is eternal. He has no beginning or end. He is God and man, and God who is immortal. How is it that God died? Why was God in a tomb? That's a huge question. God became a man. God became a man. He lived a perfect life. He walked our earth. He lived in history. He died a criminal's death on a Roman cross. He was executed, but he was raised to life again. But why? I know that answers perhaps some of the why he was there, but why? What is the bigger why behind this? Why did he come? He came because of our sin and God's love. He came because of our sin and God's love. He came because, ever since the beginning of time, as a whole race, wherever we're from, we've broken God's law. We've ignored God. We've lived for ourselves. We've put ourselves first, and we haven't lived for God and loved God as we should. We've done our own things. We've gone our own way. And for breaking God's law, we come under his judgment. There is a penalty. Like the speeding ticket you'll get if you go too fast in your car. Or recently, if you've had a party in your home that you shouldn't have and been given a £10,000 fine by the police turning up. When we break the law, there's a penalty. And we've broken God's law. And so there is a penalty. And the Bible tells us what we earn because of sin, our wrongdoing, is death. And to be sent away from God forever, in a place of judgment called hell. But because of God's love, the Bible tells us he sent his Son. God the Son came into the world. And he took on our humanity, but he was perfect. He lived a perfect life. He got everything right. And then in the place of other people, in my place and yours, he went to the cross. And when he died on that cross, God was punishing Jesus instead of punishing me. Instead of punishing you if you've put your trust in Jesus. So that punishment was still dealt with. The crimes were still dealt with. but those who deserved it could go free. And God would declare them innocent. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners by dying in their place. That's why he was in a tomb. But because death is the punishment for sin, because Jesus, the perfect Son of God, died in our place, death was beaten. He beat death. He overcame the punishment for sin. And that's why he rose again, because death has lost its power. And for all who put their trust in him, they're saved. This is why Jesus had been in that tomb, because he died in the place of others, taking what they deserved so that they could be set free. And you know, this gives us great hope. Jesus being alive gives us great hope because it shows us there is a way for you to deal with your sin and guilt. Maybe there are times that you're kept awake, not by fear of death, but by being overwhelmed with how guilty and ashamed you feel because of the things you've got wrong, the people you've lied to, the things that you've stolen, the unfaithfulness that there's been in your life, or just the way that you've treated God. And you feel that guilt and shame, and there's nothing that you can do about it yourself. After we finish our service, we'll go home, I'm sure, and have our Sunday lunches. And when it comes to clearing up, we need the fairy liquid, don't we, to get the grease off the pots and pans. We can't just do it ourselves. We need something else. And in a more incredible, glorious, eternal way, the only way we can deal with our sin is the blood of Jesus Christ. That washes our sin away. It makes us clean. And when we put our trust in him, we are made clean. Denying that we've not done any wrong won't change the fact that we have. I could stand in court if I did 100 miles an hour past the church and say, I don't believe I was going that fast. Whether I believe it or not, the truth stands if I did. And you might not believe you've done anything wrong against God, but you have. We all have. We've all sinned. And there's only one way that we can be right with God. There's only one way that we can have this hope. Maybe you've had your COVID vaccination already. And there's different ones, isn't there? You can have the AstraZeneca one or the Pfizer one or whichever one it is. But you know, there's not different ways to be right with God. There's only one way. And it's Jesus Christ. He is the one way. And this gives us hope. There is real hope. Hope in life and in death. Hope in life and in death. That however hard this life might be, Jesus has died for me and he has saved me from my sin. And I know one day that I will stand before God and not have to be afraid of judgment. And whatever difficulties this life brings, I have a living Lord Jesus Christ who walks with me through every day in difficulty. And I'm not on my own. And I'm kept. And this gives us real hope. And when we think about death, think about a time when you were little. What made it easier for you to do something if somebody else went first? Whether it was a swimming lesson and learning to dive in the deep end or going on a roller coaster or whatever it might have been. We're afraid, aren't we? But if somebody else goes first, we have a bit more confidence. Jesus has gone first through death for us. And we can have that confidence because he's alive. It gives us hope. However hard this life is, it's not all there is. Penny said that death isn't the end of her story. And for the Christian, we have a glorious hope because Jesus is alive. But secondly, and perhaps this is more for Christians here this morning, remember his words. Verses 6 to 8, the women are confused about what's going on. They're perplexed. They don't know what to say. They thought Jesus was dead. But for us, perhaps as Christians particularly, how often do we allow our circumstances to speak louder than God? How often do we allow our circumstances to speak louder than God? That what's going on around us seems to be kind of directing and shaping and controlling how we are and how we cope. It's easily done, isn't it? Think of these ladies. Jesus is dead. Well, that's it then. That's it. It's over. It's finished. He's dead. Well, let's do the right thing and get ready to anoint his body. What happened to them? There was fear and confusion, wasn't there? There was unnecessary heartache. It was like their world had been shattered. There was misplaced devotion. They worked very hard to get these spices ready to anoint his body. They came very early on the first day of the week to anoint his body. But he told them he wouldn't stay dead. We can do the same thing. I know at times I do. We can forget God's word and promises and live by what's going on or what's going wrong. And we can forget what it is that God has said to us. Think about being at a railway station. I know you've perhaps not been on a train in recent times with everything that's happened, but you're standing there on a railway station. You need to get down to London, say, from Leicester. And the train's not there physically in front of you. What do you do? Well, your circumstances are, I need to get to London and the train's not here yet, so I'm going to walk. And you put all that effort and energy into walking down to London and you get tired out and you're late. But if you'd remembered that the timetable told you the train was going to come, you'd have caught the train, wouldn't you? In a much more important way, God has said things in his word. He has given promises and instruction and things to help us. But because sometimes we look at what's going on immediately around us, we let that control what's going on. And how important that is at the moment with this pandemic still. We find discouragements because we look at our circumstances. Maybe we end up with misplaced devotion, working really hard, doing something and finding out we didn't need to. Maybe we carry unnecessary heartache because we forget what it is that God has said and the promises that he's made to us. We don't have angels appear to remind us, do we? These women had these angels appear and tell them, don't you remember what he said? But we do have the help of God's word. He's given us his word in the Bible. He's given us his Holy Spirit living in us as his people to remind us of the things that God has said. And so we have that help. Think about your life now. Think about your circumstances. Are these the things that are controlling how you're getting on and how you're coping? Are you letting those things direct you and dictate to you? Or are you remembering what God has said in his word to help you and to encourage you and to guide you and direct you? Are you struggling with thinking about your health and your weakness? Well, what has God said in his word? He said that his grace is sufficient for us and that his strength is made perfect in weakness. Are you struggling with your needs? Well, God says that he'll supply all our needs according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. That everything we need, not necessarily everything we want, but the things that we need, he will provide. And he knows best for us. Maybe you're struggling with sin and that's getting you down. That weight of guilt again. Well, remember Jesus on the cross prayed to his Father as they were crucifying him. Father, forgive them. And that because he died, there is forgiveness for our sin. Jesus took our guilt and our sin and shame when he died on the cross. Maybe you've been wandering far from God and you once walked with the Lord Jesus Christ, but you've walked away and your heart is cold. And you think, well, how can I come back? Think of what the Lord Jesus says to Peter after his resurrection. When Peter thinks there's no coming back, do you love me? Jesus wasn't finished with him. And his words restore us and bring us back. Think of the times when our faith is weak and we struggle because of that. What does Jesus say to Peter? I have prayed for you that your faith would not fail. And that's what Jesus does for his followers, for his people. When we face death, and we're afraid, I am the resurrection and the life. Remember his words. Don't let what's going on around you control or dictate in terms of making you down and discouraged. Yes, things will be hard. Yes, we will face trials. But God has given us his word. And if these ladies, these dear ladies, had remembered that he said he would rise from the dead, what a different experience they would have had. And it's true for us. Remember his words. Thirdly, lastly, what Luke has said demands a response from us. It demands a response from each one of us. What do you think about these things? Those who heard these things first, who heard about the resurrection, they didn't believe. They thought it was nonsense. They couldn't believe it. Thomas doubted, as James reminded us. But what about you this morning? What about you? What do you think about the fact that Jesus died and rose again for sinners? What is stopping you believe? Is it that you don't want to admit you've done wrong? We can be very proud people, can't we? We don't want to hold our hands up when we've made a mistake, and we certainly don't want to do it to God sometimes. But you can't hide anything from him. Is it that you don't want to admit you're wrong, that you won't believe? Or maybe it's peer pressure. Maybe you think, I won't believe because none of my friends believe, or my family don't do this, or they're not Christian people and they won't understand. Maybe society. We don't live in a society anymore that believes these things in general. Maybe you think, well, if the majority of people don't believe it, then I won't. Is that what's stopping you believe? Are you too in love with this world that you love doing these things that deep down you know are wrong and you don't want to give them up? What if you won't believe? What if you won't believe? Do you know, this is the part that every preacher finds very hard to say. But the Bible makes it very clear that if we reject Jesus Christ, if we don't come to God and ask for forgiveness for our sins, if we will not put our faith and trust in Jesus Christ, there is no other way to be right with God. And all that waits for us is God's judgment. And the Bible speaks of a place called hell, and Jesus described it as a place of weeping and wailing and gnashing teeth, of anguish and horror and terror. A place where for all eternity we realize how guilty we are and that there is now nothing we can do about it. And it makes me tremble to think about hell. But it is as much a reality as we want heaven to be. And as much as we want heaven, we deserve hell. And there is only one way for us to escape it, and that is through Jesus Christ. That is because on that cross, he died. And when we think about how awful the suffering of Jesus was, we realize how much we've upset God with our sin. And he will have to punish every sin. And if you won't believe in Jesus Christ, that is all that remains for you. That is where your story goes. But let me bring this to your mind. Do you know why the stone was rolled away? Do you know why the stone was rolled away? I believe the stone was rolled away so that you can look in and see that Jesus is alive. So that you can look in and see that he did die for sinners. He did die taking that judgment. But now he's alive. And there is real hope. I can be forgiven. So that you can look in for yourself like Peter did. Here, Peter rose and ran to the tomb, stooping and looking in. He saw the linen cloths by themselves and he went home marveling at what happened. Are you going to look into that tomb and see that Jesus really is alive? That he died for you and he is now alive so that you can know forgiveness and peace with God? You know, we've looked about what if you won't believe, but if you do believe, we've spoke of heaven. Let me tell you of hell. Let me tell you of heaven. Let's get it right. If you will believe, firstly, there is a cost to following Jesus. There is a cost to following Jesus. It means that we have to die to ourselves and to this world, and we live for God. And there are times when that's hard. There are times we are misunderstood. There are times when the world won't get it. There are times, perhaps even now, where Christians suffer because they're Christians. There is a cost to following Jesus Christ. But let me come towards the end with this. He gives so much more than we lose. He gives so much more than we lose. As awful and terrible as hell is, on the other end of the spectrum, heaven is beyond glorious and it's beyond our imagining. It is the place of holiness and righteousness. It's the place of purity and life and joy and enjoyment and bliss and happiness and total contentment and peace. It's the place where God is. It's the place where Jesus is. It's the place where he will show us the full extent of how much he loves us and delights in us. It's a place where our soul kind of entertainment will be to worship him and to rejoice in him, that he died for us and he rose again. No more tears, no more sadness, no more sickness or death, no more sin and guilt and shame. What God gives is so much more than what we lose if we follow Christ. And I'm not trying to bribe you. I'm telling you the truth. Why would you not believe? Why would you not believe? So what do you think? What do you think about these things? Jesus is alive. Remember his words. What a difference it makes to our day when we remember God has said this. And I trust his word and he cannot lie. What do you think? Will you put your trust in Jesus Christ if you have not already? Will you come to him and say, I am sorry for my sin. I've broken the law of God and I deserve to be punished. That cross should be mine. But I believe that Jesus allowed himself to be nailed to it in my place so that I could be forgiven. Please forgive me and wash me clean. Help me to live my life for you. And thank you that you love me so much. That's how we know that heaven is secured for us. This is the real Easter. This is what it's really all about. Jesus dying for our sins, rising again to give us eternal and sure hope. Whatever happens today, whatever happens tomorrow, and knowing one day, here's the best bit, he's coming back. He's coming back. And we can't wait for that. Because he's alive, we know he's coming back. The real Easter. What do you think? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the truth of your word. We thank you for that great invitation for us, as it were, to look into the tomb like Peter, to see that Jesus is alive and to know that though he died for our sins, he is risen again, that we can be forgiven through putting our trust in him. Father, please, we pray, help us to know that joy. And for each one this morning, Lord, we pray that this day would not end without everyone having humbled their hearts before you and knowing that they have peace with God through the Lord Jesus. Thank you that because his grave is empty, one day ours will be too, that we will rise out of that grave when Jesus calls us. And we will be raised and our bodies will be changed and made new like his to enjoy heaven forever with him. But how we fear the judgment that waits for those who will reject the Lord Jesus. Lord, have mercy, we pray. Have mercy, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Our last hymn this morning that we're going to have before we go out and sing it outside. In Christ alone, my hope is found. He is my light, my strength, my song. It's only through knowing the Lord Jesus Christ that we have this hope. So I encourage you as the music starts to play, if you're able to stand and we'll sing, or we'll listen here or sing at home, I'll close in prayer. And then those of us who are here, if you want to, we'll make our way out that way and we can sing together before we go home. Thank you. Oh, Heavenly Father, as we echo those words, our heart cries out, hallelujah. We praise you that we stand in the power of Christ, that he rose up from that grave, that he stands in victory, and because of him, sin's curse has lost its grip on me. Thank you that through faith in him, we know these things true for ourselves, that there is no guilt in life or fear in death because of the power of Christ at work in us. He is the one who controls our destiny, that there is no scheme of man or no power in hell or anywhere else that can snatch us out of his hand, and that until he returns or calls us home in death, that we stand in the Lord Jesus Christ. Thank you for that great hope we have. Thank you that Jesus is risen and he is at your right hand, one day to come and take us home. We give you praise and thanks in the precious name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.